Everybody please rise for the invocation, Pledge of Allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with our residents. Please be with our city staff. Please guide this meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant? Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
He's probably still in the corner talking. Did you hear from Councilmember Grant? Okay. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have one resident this evening signed up, Mr. Roger Romans, regarding 6D. Would you like to speak now? Or? All right. All right, so we will move to item 6A, discussion and possible action on Hickory Hill Street Reconstruction Project.
Good evening, council members and city staff. I'm Craig Wilson with M&S Engineering. If you'll bear with me, I'm suffering through a pretty good sinus infection, so hopefully I won't go into a coughing fit while I'm giving you this brief update. First, we're going to talk about Hickory Hill Road reconstruction. The plans are at 95%. We turned them into the city about a week and a half ago for their comments. So far, we have not received, or we've received a few comments, a few corrections that need to be made to the project manual. As it stands now, let me talk about the design a little bit. The road is going to be a little bit narrower. Currently, it's 30 feet wide. We needed to narrow that road down to 28 feet wide, so you have 14-foot lanes going each direction. The reason we did that is to accommodate the wider sidewalks. So the sidewalks would go from 3 foot wide on each side to 4 foot wide. That allowed us to miss some power poles and fire hydrants and some telecommunication equipment that the city did not want to expend funds to relocate. So it was that was really the only way we could do to miss all those elements is to narrow the roadway. And also that allowed us to meet the driveway grades. The driveway grade criteria of a maximum of 14%. As it stands now, our opinion of probable construction cost is $460,453.67. That amount has a 10% contingency added to it, so I feel like we're in good shape. If I remember what the budget was, I think we're still under the proposed budget. Our plan, if you approve, will be to advertise the project beginning October the 8th in the designated newspaper. We'll open bids on August the 29th. This project will be a low bid project. You'll have to award to the low bidder because it is a CDBG project. They don't allow, they only allow the low bid process. Is there any questions that you might have that I can answer for you?
Just to clarify on, you said October 8th and then August 29th. Was that August 8th? And
I'm sorry, August.
No, that's okay. I just want to confirm.
August 8th
okay.
To advertise. We'll advertise in the paper two times as required by law, then open bids on August the 29th.
And then you had mentioned about the 4 feet sidewalks and it would narrow the roadway. Since that street is already narrow,
I was thinking the same thing.
How is that going to be as far as traffic flow? Because like I said, we all know that it's kind of tight anyway.
A 28-foot wide street is a pretty wide residential street as it goes in most communities. I think the city of San Antonio, which is the guidelines that we typically follow in this region, the maximum for a residential street is typically 27 feet. So you've got a good wide street. It's just serving the residents on that street. So there's no through traffic or anything. So it should operate just fine. I mean, there's a lot of on-street parking, but there's really not any way you can avoid that. Is there anything else I can answer for you?
I'm good.
So if you say that we're going to do the lowest bidder,
yes, ma'am.
Is there a way that we can go around not getting certain other contractors?
Not with the, since you're getting funding through the CDBG program, you have to abide by the low bid.
When did I send it to the contractors?
But I guess to clarify that, if they came back with a low bid, and let's say it was a contractor that we weren't interested in, we could reject those and start over?
Yes, you could. You would have the option to reject bids.
Thank you, Monique.
And once I talk to the paper, I can adjust those dates. So I should be able to get it in on August the 7th if they don't have a lengthy time.
About a week out.
If they wanted a week out, it might be kind of tough. So,
but we'll noon on Friday prior.
Okay, that shouldn't be. Let's see. That I think I can likely make that. I don't think we have very many changes. Yes, it is this week. So no matter what, I mean, the advertisement may be delayed, but it'll be out on the CivCast website, and contractors look at that every day. So it'll be out there ahead of the newspaper publication date.
Is there anything we need to specifically do on this item?
No, we just wanted you all to be aware of that timeline and know that it is moving forward.
Okay. Any other questions? Great, thank you.
All right. You want to go to the next item?
Sure. We will go to item 6B, discussion and possible action on 2018 Street Bond Project Phase 1.
Okay, I have provided each one of you a handout, a two-page handout. The first page is a map of the four streets that we planned to reconstruct or rehabilitate in the Phase 1 portion of the bond projects. These will be mill and overlay. So we'll strip off the asphalt and come back and put in a new layer of asphalt, 2 inches thick. Right now, the opinion of probable cost is $177,321. That has a 15% contingency in it right now, so I think we're in good shape there as well. Our plans to advertise this are going to mirror Hickory Hill. We're going to advertise on August the 8th, open bids on August the 29th. This project, since it's local funds, will be able to do competitive sealed bids. And the evaluation criteria that we have in the project manual is 70% of the score will be price, 6% will be qualifications of the contractor, 15% will be project experience, previous projects, and 9% will be schedule and workload, and the workload includes current projects that are under contract with that bidder. Is there any questions that you might have that I can help with?
audience who might not know, just break out which streets are included in that first phase and why we opted to break that into two different projects, even though the bond was one big project.
Sure. Phase one projects will include Kirby Heights Boulevard, the full length. Is it file or field? It's just one block. It'll be the mill and overlay of that section. Peppermint Lane from Gaiety to Ackerman. We want to try to work with the contractor once they get on site to maybe regrade the intersection with Gaiety to see if there's enough funds available. We want to see if we can work with them to get the drainage working better there. So hopefully we can do that. If not, you'll at least have a brand new road. The fourth road is Harris Road between Ackerman and the Hickory Hill intersection. Phase two projects will include Ackerman Road. Let me back up. Phase one projects are all mill and overlay. They're rehabilitation streets. Phase two projects are all going to be reconstructed streets except for Cinderella. It will be a rehab. That's what I'm planning for right now. Cinderella was originally in this portion and in the phase one portion, but the way I'm looking at doing traffic control and detour routes, we want to use Cinderella as a detour route, and that'll add to the wear to that street. So once all the construction is done, we'll go back and repave Cinderella, and it'll be good as new. The other streets that are in phase two will be Gibbs Sprawl, Ackerman, Sparkling, and Taub.
But because since there's two phases, I mean, potentially there can be two jobs going on at one time if we're breaking them apart.
The phase one stuff should work, should go really fast. I believe I've got 60 days as the substantial completion date. So we want to get this going pretty quick and not get into the cool weather. You can lay asphalt in cool weather, but there's some tricks and things that you got to pay attention to. It's always better to do asphalt paving in the warmer months. The phase two projects, we're looking at May, I believe, to take those to advertise.
Oh. And part of that is because that actually requires some design.
Yes. Yeah, the reconstructed streets are going to take a considerable amount of design. We're going to add some drainage components to Ackerman to help improve the stormwater carrying capabilities of that street. Now, you will have the phase one projects going at the same time as Hickory Hill, but Hickory Hill's kind of off the beaten path a little bit by a block. So, and Hickory Hill is, I think I've got 150 days, so 5 months construction, substantial completion construction time on that.
And so on that piece that you were talking about, if there was funds available or as far as for Peppermint's concerned?
Yes.
Is that something that, even though it's not in the scope, that we would have to go back to bid?
No.
Or would it be?
By law, you can increase the contract amount for a city contract by 25% without having to do any rebidding or anything like that.
But before we move forward with that, that would be something that would come back.
Yes, we would definitely come back and get the council's blessing for that.
All right. I just wanted to make sure, since it's a bond, I just want to make sure that there's full disclosure, you know, to anything that's being used with those public funds, you know,
sure.
Just to make sure that the public is aware.
Yeah, we want to work with the bond funds and use them effectively and wisely and get as much work done for the city as possible. Are there any other questions I can answer for you?
Does staff have any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will move to item 6C, discussion and possible action on City of Kirby website revisions. I'm not sure who I'm turning over this.
I was like, Chief, you don't take that.
I know, I was like, oh, that was surprised me.
No, just wanted to give council a brief update on some of the additional training and revisions that have taken place on the website recently. So Tanya and I went to Public Alliance, who hosts our website, and went through a training on kind of the back end of the website with some of the additional things that we can do ourselves. And one of the things that we learned in that process, because I know probably around this time last year when the web group came here, we talked about rotating photos on the home page and then just switching other pictures out throughout various pages. So our website, the way it was set up, did not allow us to rotate photos. So it was an additional piece that we have to have uploaded to the website in order to do that. So that cost that they quoted us is $500 to do that. We do have money in the budget still for this fiscal year. We could proceed with that. So we did go ahead and ask them to get that installed, because that was a desire of council to have that service. So once that is installed, we've already gone through the training piece, we'll be able to rotate photos. We also had a photographer sometime in May go out and do new stock photography of the parks, city facilities, city staff. So we'll have some additional photos that we can load in the system. It will allow you to rotate 3 to 5 pictures at a time. And then what our goal would be is to change those out at least once a month so that it would have a consistent fresh load. We did already go in and on some of the individual pages just add new photos based on some of that photography that they took. We'll try to do that more frequently as well. I know there was some recent inquiries that I've received through web inquiries from residents about an interactive agenda search, I guess, so to speak, but our website is not set up to allow that. So like by keyword, I guess if they wanted to type in whenever council discussed Hickory Hill, then they would search that kind of like with the code of ordinance section. But the site will not allow us to do that, and that's not something that they would be able to add to our site, because the site was built in 2005, and so there are some functionalities that just did not come with it. So unless we were interested in a complete overhaul, we wouldn't have that functionality. But I also just wanted to check in and see if there were any other areas, you know, that you all wanted us to consider adding at this point while we're working with them to see if it's a possibility under the current scheme.
I think we had just discussed previously about utilizing the tabs more, the drop-down tabs that are there. There's one for economic development, I believe, or business. The senior center, or it has one for senior citizens, I think it says, maybe. You know, that we could drop things specifically in there, just so that it's more, I guess, fluid, so that you're not searching. I mean, unless you really delve into each of the drop downs, I mean, you really wouldn't find employment opportunities until you go into, I think it's administration, or have to look at the website, but it's at the bottom. So something, you know, that maybe makes it not, I guess, so hidden, or, I mean, it's there, it's just not in your face there.
I mean, they did show us how to create additional tabs and new tabs. They showed us how to connect it to the Google sites, because that's how they have it set up on the back end. So if someone is, you know, searching something, then our site will feed to that search. So we do have like a little more knowledge now how we can do some of those things ourselves without incurring additional fees. And now we talked with the different departments about submitting information so they can have separate pages, so that fire can have, you know, a more interactive separate page, and PD can have a more interactive separate page. Public Works doesn't have one right now. There's just the utility site, but we could build in one as well.
I mean, it might be beneficial as far as stuff with code compliance. I mean, I know that we have the facts section, but maybe something that was maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be interactive, but maybe the most, do I need a permit for this? You know, if I'm going to change this, do I need a permit for that? Again, those are things that you can look on the city ordinances, but that keyword, even though there's a keyword search, it's pretty ambiguous, because if you type in one thing, a whole bunch of other things that are hitting on that keyword pop up. So maybe if we can find something, you know, that has like its own tab all of its own, something that, I mean, that may even help Officer Thompson as far as, you know, people being able to find those things. You know, like my fence, do I need, you know, what do I need a permit for? Do I need a permit to change my water heater? Those kinds of things. I mean, inevitably, staff, of course, would still get questions because this is where the information is at, but that may help residents to, if they feel like they don't want to call up here. Anybody else have any suggestions or questions? Oh. All right. We will move to item 6D, discussion and possible action on a proposed 2019 property tax rate. Roger Romans will speak on 6D.
My name's Roger Romans, resident here in Kirby. I just wanted to remind council before they start talking about this. If you go to the tax assessor's tax tables, the city of Kirby is the highest municipally property tax community in Bexar County. And if rates stay the same with the increased property valuations, that does amount to a tax increase for the fixed income seniors, which is a large segment of our community. I want you to keep that in mind when you're talking about tax rates, because even if there's no tax increase, it doesn't mean that the residents don't pay a higher rate. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, with that, we will move into discussion, and I will turn this over to Tina. And if you can please talk into the microphone, because your voice is so soft. Is it on? Okay.
Your rodeo voice.
Yes, something.
Okay, I have given you the 2019 tax rate information. If you see, the rollback rate is 0.728626. That is what is given to us by the Bexar County. The effective tax rate is 0.653366. We are proposing to go with 0.728626, which is the same rate as the rollback. In the past, the rollback has always been higher than the rate that we've had in the past. So this time, they've lowered the rollback, and they've also lowered the effective. And we feel like that if we had kept it at the same rate we've been for the last 6 years, although I've been here for, it could cause a petition for, So we decided to go with the rollback rate instead of keeping the rate that we've had, because it would be higher than the rollback. So just to let you know, the tax rates are on top, and we are proposing what the rollback tax rate is. If you go down a little bit further, it talks about when the public hearing dates are. And that will be, the first public hearing will be held on 8/22/19, and then the second public hearing will be August 29th, 2019. Underneath that, you will see our 2018 tax rate. At that time, the value was $325,965,839. The taxable collection rate was 98.12%. So you see where we are, actual was 0.729376. That's where we are currently, okay? And you'll see the difference from the effective tax rate and the rollback for this current year that we're in. And as you see, we held on to our current rate, but it was still less than the effective. Well, it's not this case anymore. If you go over to the 2019 tax rate, you'll see that our net taxable value is $369,729,471. The taxable collection rate is 98.71%, so it's up a little bit. You'll see the proposed tax rate. Again, we are looking at the 0.728626. Our M&O will be $2,213,297. That will be with the tax rate of 0.598626. Our INS is 0.13, which would be $480,648. So that gives us a full revenue of $2,693,945. If we go with the effective, you'll see that it's lower. It's $2,415,687. And then again, if we use a rollback tax rate, it's the same as what we're proposing. Now, down at the bottom, it says the average resident taxable value. The taxable value has gone up. It was it is $108,479 now. And if to the right, you'll see that if we use the proposed same rate as the rollbacks, it would be $790.41, which is $74.06 over. Or if we went with the effective tax rate, you'll see that it's less, and then we would be under as far as over and under if we went with the effective tax rate. Keep in mind, since we are we have the boundary adjustment down at the bottom, you'll see where it's a taxable value for the land that we took over. For 2019-2020, it says $990,868. So using that same tax rate, the tax due would be $415,250. So we would owe the city of San Antonio back $207,625.14. This strictly comes from Bexar County. We get a tax rate worksheet, and they tell us what the effective and the rollback is. And that's where we get the rates from. And all these things are done by formulas. So once you plug in the numbers, this formula take away from this and times that and so forth.
Do we know about how much more it would put on each resident, though, if we left the tax rate the same and the valuation and everything went up, how much more we would actually be paying? Do we know a ballpark figure in there?
So you're saying if we left it the same as our current tax rate?
Because yeah, if we left the tax rate the way it is now.
Oh, keeping the higher rate. Okay.
But the valuation of everybody's property and house, if it goes up, just like Mr. Roman said, we actually pay more in our taxes, even though the tax rate stayed the same. We still end up paying more.
But we didn't run our current tax rate because it's actually higher than what we're proposing. So what we ran was the slightly lower and showed you how much we would get from that amount, and then compared it to how much we would get from the effective rate. So, like, for example, our current tax rate is, if you look on the left side of the page, our current tax rate is 0.729376. And what we're proposing is 0.728626. So it's just slightly lower.
If it was left at the same, based on the average resident taxable, if we weren't proposing the 0.72, it's like $79.12. If we kept it, if we decided to keep it, but they're not proposing that. That's what you were asking, right?
Well, I'm just, you know, trying to find out if we let the tax rate sit the same, the 72.
But that's not the same. That's lower than what our current tax rate is, the 728. Because we have, right now we're 0.729. And we're proposing 0.728.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's the numbers, the way that it looks, it's because it's
this here. Is what we're paying
right
now.
Yes, sir. And then that's
and
what's
this
proposed.
Is what we were proposed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know it's not very much, but you're saying it would be
it's like 79.12. If that was the same that we have right now, but staff is proposing the rollback rate of 0.728626.
It had been at the same rate for a long time. I was going to look it up earlier and see about how long we've been keeping it at the same rate, but you know, this time with the effective tax rate going down, we decided to go down with it.
And I guess just for clarification, part of the analysis and why we're not proposing the effective rate, which is even lower, the 0.653, is because of the amount of money, you know, that we need to raise for our debt service and our maintenance operations. So, you know, if you look at it, on the right side in the middle section where it says using the effective tax rate, we have to off the top get the amount to cover the debt. So it would only raise us to $431 and $2. And then that would be less money to distribute for maintenance and operations. And so, you know, we just feel like we would lose some funds as to some, you know, other city services and things that we need to provide. This will be the last year that we'll have a little more leeway in determining our tax rate with the new, you know, legislative changes that are coming down effective January 1st with their revenue caps. So that will be on the August 8th agenda. Our city attorney will give a more thorough presentation on that. But that's just something to keep in mind as well, is that we decrease now, we would be losing some of the funds that we need to raise this year with a very limited opportunity to recoup that in next year.
So what do you need it from us this evening?
We need for you all to vote as to which rate you would like for us to go forward with, either the rate that we're proposing, which is also the rollback, or the effective tax rate.
Okay, so staff is proposing the rollback rate of 0.728626. The effective tax rate is 0.653366. Our current tax rate is 0.729376. But as I stated, staff is recommending the rollback rate of 0.728626. So if somebody wants to make a motion to any of that, I will entertain it.
Mayor, I move that we accept the proposed tax rate of 0.728626 for 2019-2020 tax rate.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept a proposed tax rate of 0.728626. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, so the proposed tax rate voted on was 0.728626. We will move to item 7A, discussion and direction on the proposed budgets for fiscal year 2019-2020. Are you going to take it, Monique, or Tina? All right.
Okay, you have two different budget sheets. The first one we're going to go over is the general fund. At the last meeting, it was requested that I put the year-to-date actual, that we are so far to year-to-date this fiscal year. Just keep in mind, those figures I have here is what came off the report that was sent to y'all last Friday. We still have some more months to go, so we can look a little less. So I just want to keep that in mind. The changes you're going to see, I will go down them. The property taxes are changed because I went, if you look at your tax rate information, your total revenue would be $2,213,297, so that is on your property tax current. And then I put the $207,625 for the cost of San Antonio, because that's what we have to pay them once we collect it. The delinquent taxes, I went up $5,000 because we've been a little over. We're over now, but we were over last year. The sales tax, I went up $10,000. We went over last year, so I went up on that. The city sales tax, HB 4445. Remember, we talked about that at the last council meeting about the street tax that we were going to go up on that. So I changed that revenue to $70,000.
When you say go up on that, can you just
I'm sorry?
Can you just clarify, it's actually not going up. It was just the fact that the increase of the sales made that tax. That tax is still 0.25%. I just make sure nobody thinks that city raised the sales tax. Correct.
We're collecting more,
yes.
So we're able to allocate more for street projects. So we just want the revenue line item of $70,000 to match the expenditure line item.
the city sales tax for COSA, again, that will be the amount that we'll have to pay the city of San Antonio for the city sales tax. And I just want to let y'all know something about that that's going on. As we did our audit last year, the city of San Antonio not only get just the property tax, but they also get part of our sales tax and our franchise tax. So when we did the audit back in November of last year, DEPA, the CPA, brought it to our attention that we need to get with the city of San Antonio and get them on that to figure out what we owe them. And she said, don't be surprised if it would take 6 months to a year for the state to do that. So after the audit, I did contact San Antonio. As a matter of fact, I just contacted them about probably a month and a half ago and say, hey, I haven't heard from you. Are you still working on that? They have not heard from the state comptroller yet. So we haven't paid them anything for the 2017-18 as far as the sales tax goes. So I just want to let you know we're still going to owe them for that, but we can't pay anything until the state comptroller gets with them what service or what businesses in that area that boundary adjustment we took is going to be what we collect and how much we owe them for the half of it.
So is there any way that we can find out what that was prior, what the baseline was prior to the annexation? Because, I mean, if we're not budgeting, I mean, if we don't hear back from them and then all of a sudden it comes about, then if we don't have anything, even a guideline to set through there, then it's going to be money that we weren't. I mean, I would think that possibly if we could get.
The only thing we, you know, have right now is like we know we can estimate a dollar amount, I guess, based on what was collected in the prior year before us getting the balance.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. And at least divide that. I mean, maybe put, I don't know, 10% on it and divide it just for the fact that we can get some number in there besides zero. You know, with a budget that's tight, I would hate to not put anything there and then it be an unexpected cost if they, or a line item that, hey, remember that conversation we had? Guess what? It's here now and this is what we owe. I mean, I think that we should be able to have a baseline.
What happened is we'll end up paying 2 years.
Correct, especially since that was 2017-2018. And that would encompass just the main ones would be Little Taco Factory, right?
Probably the title company.
And the title company that's right there. That easy one stop. And I don't know.
Because
any of those little
half of that building's curvy. Yes, in those buildings.
Yeah,
they're all curvy.
So something, you know, I don't know. Maybe we can just find that just for a baseline.
What about HEB? Is that part of it?
The Cisco, yeah, the HEB distribution, yeah. Thank you. That's what I was. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like.
It's probably property tax. Yeah.
Right, and there's nothing else in between there that I can, unless there's a. So maybe if we can just find out what those properties had, then we can at least put a baseline in there just so that.
Was it 17? It was still vacant, wasn't it?
In the distribution center, the Cisco building was vacant until.
No, they actually.
I think is what you said, right?
The same week we got the.
That's right. That's right.
But I'm not sure if they would have property tax. I mean.
Yeah,
I don't think they have sales tax, no. But if those others that we named, possibly if we can just get that just for a baseline.
It's going to be the sales tax and the franchise fees as well. The problem with them, and I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit, on the franchise fee, I noticed that we've been getting, right-of-way checks, and they're from different company than what we're used to getting it from, and they're not very much at all. I mean, I get a check for $1.34 or very small amount for small businesses. And so I don't look for that to be very much, but it's just the property tax I was concerned about. And like we said, it's going to be 2 years' worth.
Right.
So.
But at least if we do that, we can. I don't even know how you would figure out the franchise fees unless. Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know unless you knew every entity that had a piece of that from San Antonio. And since they haven't responded with that, they're probably not going to respond very fast with the other.
And kind of while we're on that, I mean, that's another one that a legislative change
yes.
is going to take effect on. So we actually will not even receive as much. Less that we're giving them back.
Yeah, on the franchise fees, I'm not sure about CPS, but I do know on the cable TV or the cable and the cellular or telephone, if you get both franchise fees, so I'm just going to use AT&T for example. If AT&T pays you for the cable and the telephone, you're going to lose money on one or the other. They don't have to pay it on both anymore starting next in January. That is part of the legislative that just passed. So that's why we reduced that. We have no no idea what it's going to be. We won't even know which one they're going to cut. We won't know any of that. We've talked about that at the TML budget conference a few weeks ago that I attended, and TML could not even answer it because they don't even know which one they're going to cut. So at this point, I couldn't tell you, and I won't probably know until about January. So anyway, we went ahead and reduced the, we just left CPS alone. We've got a call into them to see if they fall on that or not. The cable franchise fees, you'll see that one was reduced. And then the right-of-way fees, I increased that. I just made it even $25,000 because we've been over a little bit. It should not be the right-of-way fee that's going to be reduced, only the cellular and internet. Don't have any questions about that? Okay. Going on down, I changed the animal services fees because in the past we've always been with Bexar County, and so I have lowered that to $10,000 until we get a feel of what we do this next fiscal year. Hopefully it could increase, but I just decreased it for now. I've also lowered the park concession. Not very high right now. And then I've also lowered the fire permit just by a little bit. I mean, I'm sorry, I increased it from the previous budget.
What is park concessions?
That is the...
Is it just the pool?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the only changes that I made on this sheet.
So just to make a note about the ambulance.
I'm going. The ambulance cost report.
Okay.
So that money, what we do is we file a report with state. And so, for example, 2018 just got filed, and so it has to be done by March 31st. It takes the state all summer long to do everybody's report, and it goes by the Medicare supplement on the ambulance report. So they call it the ambulance cost report. So with that being done, there's a lot of figures that are involved in that, and so specialized billing helped me with that report. And so for this amount that you see here, the $148,560, that is from 2017 ambulance cost report. So it's going to vary. It could be just as much or it could be less. I will say that the 2019 right now, that the current fiscal year that we are in, is going to be much, much lower. And the reason is, it's because we don't have the ambulance run on ESD 11 anymore. So that's going to cut a lot of costs down. So we're not going to get near as much. So just to let you know. And I can't put a figure in there for proposed budget as a line item you don't want to put in there that you're going to bank on, because that the state can say, we're going to cut it off, we're not going to do it anymore. So that is a line item that we don't want to depend on, but you see it now in the year-to-date actual, because that was a 2017 payment that we received after this fiscal budget was approved back on 2018-19.
Any questions?
Okay, moving on to page 2. I changed the ESD 11
page 2.
Contractual.
Yeah, let me just talk about that briefly. So right now, staff has been negotiating with the ESD board on a proposed new agreement. current agreement expires on September 30th of this year. What we've discussed is renewing at starting with a brand new agreement and going another 3 years, so that would be the end of 2022. And they have requested that we add three additional firefighters, one more per shift. So right now they have three per shift. They would have four per shift, plus the supervisor, which is the assistant fire chief. And so the proposed cost for those increases is $651,000. They currently pay us $550,000. Now, if this amount was actually based on, we put in at that time a 3% pay increase. So that's what those numbers were based on. However, we will discuss with them, you know, before it gets approved, not knowing what we were going to determine, is that they would actually just pay at cost. If there was no 3% included, then the at cost amount was like $649,000. So it would go down slightly. But the way the agreement is written now is that in the event there is a pay increase or a difference in insurance or other benefit costs, then they pay us at cost for those things. So there's the basic contract amount, but then they know that whatever additional expenses, they have to cover those. So we won't have our insurance costs until the 15th of August. And then that could change. But that's just the number that we're working with right now for the agreement. And we're looking at the ESD. It's in their hands now for review. We're hoping we have something back for our August 8th meeting.
I lowered the impound fee because our collection's a little low this year, so I lowered it. And then the next thing is the STRAC grant. I took that out because we don't know from year to year if we're going to get one or how much we're going to get. So I better just put that in the budget as we get it. So that has been taken out, just like we took out the STRAC expense. So it's been taken out of revenue, and it's also been taken out of expenses. And then also the LEOZI grant, I put it back to $1,400 like it was at the beginning of the fiscal year. Again, this fiscal year we received $1,539. It could go lower or it could go higher. So I just went back and put it as the original budget that we had at the beginning of 18-19. All on the revenue. Any questions about the revenue?
Questions?
Okay. I did not make any changes to the city council expenditures.
I did want to make a comment just about that section. I had an inquiry about the line item under supplies, awards and miscellaneous expense, which is budgeted at $2,500. I had a council member ask me, you know, what can those funds be used for? Could they potentially be allocated to a roof organization for supplies or, you know, items that they need, for example, for community projects or events? And that could be used for that since it is labeled awards and miscellaneous expense. So if, you know, at your all's discretion, if you wanted to use a certain amount of those funds, because you see we really, for the year, we haven't spent very much of that. So that's always you know, an option for that line item.
Okay, any move on to city administration. The only thing that I've changed was the salary. The salaries, the overtime, the longevity, retirement, FICA, and TWC taxes. All those line items have been changed, and one reason is because we took the part-time custodian out of the city admin and moved it to decrease in those line items from the original budget that was adopted back in 2018-19. Those are the only thing that I changed on the city administration budget. And just keep in mind the longevity, it could be a slight difference, and only because I have to go to every employee, and depending on how many months they've been here, the longevity can change, because if you've only been here from like the first 2 years or 3 years, you get 0.15, and then next few months, so many months, it's 0.25, and then the max you can reach is 3% of your salary. I have not done that yet as far as the longevity. So it could be a slight change, and I'll let you know if it does. I just haven't gotten that far as the longevity goes. Any questions on city admin? Okay, on police department, you are going to see a change on the salary, the overtime, longevity, retirement, FICA, and TWC taxes. And it's going to be like that through all the departments. So you'll see those line items have increased. And the reason why it increased mainly would be because of the extra code compliance. So that would make 17 total as far as officers. And that's all on PD. Municipal court, again, it's the same line items. It's the salaries, overtime, longevity, retirement, FICA, and TWC taxes. That I made the changes to. Fire department, we're going to see an increase, and that is because of the three extra employees that ESD 11 is requesting. So you're going to see quite a bit of amount adjusted to each one of those line items that I just mentioned in the other departments. Move on to animal services. The animal services department,
we might want to mention the bunker gear, because that was
meeting.
Okay. I have not changed the bunker gear price yet or the amount. Charlie and I talked about, he would like to keep the bunker gear expense separated as far as uniforms or operational supplies. So I am going to create an account under supplies for the bunker gear, and that will just strictly be a certain amount for the bunker gear and also cleaning of the bunker gear that inspected by the state that will be in there. I have not done that yet, so I'll have to do that. But he would like to see a bunker gear account separate from uniforms or operational. So yes, we will put that back in since the mayor had asked about that at the last meeting.
And so, I'm sorry, what is that purpose going to serve if you have it separate?
The bunker gear, okay, it's like I told Chief, the way that the audit works is anything over, it has to be like a $5,000 as a capital outlay.
Right.
So if the bunker gear cost, let's just say a brand new bunker gear, if it cost $2,500, that includes the gear, the hat, the boot, and Chief, step in if I'm wrong.
No, right.
But that would cover, you know, a set of bunker gears. So I'm not sure how many we got put in for at this point. But also we'll have to add $2,500 into that same account on top of buying a new bunker gear, because the state inspects these bunker gears, and so they have to be proved that they were professionally clean as well. So that will be added on to the bunker gear that we would purchase. So since the bunker gear is under $5,000 a piece, we're just gonna move it up to under supplies, right underneath uniforms, or right around those chart of account numbers.
So at least there would be at least three proposed, correct?
Sets.
At least, ma'am. Yeah, there's a new ruling come down. I was telling the city manager. There's a new ruling come down from an FDA. They're adopting new, they're printing out the new version, which is 2020. It doesn't physically come out and tell you that you need to provide each firefighter with a second set of gear, but the firefighters are not going to be allowed to enter a fire or rework until the gear that they were using on the previous fire is washed and dried. So in theory, they're not telling you you have to buy it, but they can't do anything else unless that stuff's washed and dried. So if they come back to the station, they need to have something. Proposing to purchase a set of size gear that I can use across the board, that if something like that were to happen, then I can go to that storage of the size gear, and they can use that until their primary gear is washed and dried, and then they can reuse it again.
But since the ESD contract or whatever was proposing three, wasn't it? Did you say
they purchased their own bunker?
Okay, so they're going to purchase. Okay.
This is just bunker gear for our Kirby firefighters that are here.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
I did, actually. So the extractor, though, the machine that you purchased to wash, is that considered professional cleaning or no?
That is considered an advanced cleaning, but every year the state requires that you have an advanced cleaning and an advanced inspection on each piece of, on each turnout gear.
Okay.
So every year we do the advanced cleaning, which the state is also mandating now that after every fire, there needs to be an advanced cleaning. So if we didn't have the extractor, we would have to send it out every time.
But that's what I'm saying, but the extractor serves as the advanced cleaning that you don't have to send it up.
We have to send it once a year now.
Okay.
For an annual clean by basically an outside service provider and an inspection by an outside service provider.
Okay.
Once a year.
Okay, moving on to animal services. You'll see the salaries again, all those line items have changed. So what we did on that, we made that, it has always been a budget of $120,560, but what we did is made it where it would be three ACOs or animal tech with a supervisor. So that would include the three ACOs and one supervisor salary amount in there, rather than having four techs or four ACOs plus those supervisor.
And how many do we have now?
Right now we have four. We have three techs and an ACO.
We have five in the budget. There's five in the budget just because we separated.
It'll be the same thing on parks. It's up a little bit because we added the full-time custodian. And it is the same starting pay as you're going to see a amount change there, along with the overtime longevity and so forth. That is the only thing that has changed on the parks. But I know you probably, any questions about parks? It'll be the same thing on street. Just changed the amount and it went down a little bit. And that's going by my spreadsheet that I have for all the employees that I have listed. And then just for confirmation on the general operation, on the very back page, which would be page 14, where it says transfer to debt service, I did clarify that with Deborah, and yes, we are going to take that out because we're not going to count on general fund to help support the debt service, since the debt service is mainly selected by, supported by the tax, public taxes. So I took that $252,470 out. So that is correct.
I do want to back up to the streets and just under the capital outlay, page 12. Those numbers have not been adjusted yet, but I am going to have to, as we get a little bit closer, adjust the amount that's budgeted for the Ben Zingelman project, as well as the Hickory Hill project, because we will have to show what's left over to spend. So we'll have to budget for the remainder of both projects since they're ongoing this fiscal year, but won't be finished before the start of next fiscal year. So it won't be these full amounts. I'll have to decrease that. The engineering as well as the construction is included in both of these line items. But I just need to wait till we get a little bit closer in case some additional bills.
Water. The only thing that I made changes to is, again, just to all the salaries and overtime and longevity, retirement, and TWC and FICA. That's the only change that I made to the water side.
And have we heard any more about SAW's potential increase?
There's SAW's is actually putting together a rate study committee to look at potential additional cost changes. They have asked for us, we can nominate someone from our community to serve on that committee. So I guess if any residents would be interested, if they could let us know.
As I shared an article about one article that was proposed, it was a 9.9% increase. However, they hadn't come back and figured out whether or not that was enough, is what they, how they gently put it.
And that's on top of the already annual escalation.
Correct.
That they already set up. You all remember we had not increased our costs to the residents, but we had been incurring for several years. So this past year was the first time we actually passed on some of that increase, not even the full amount. And again, it's not any funds the city gets to keep, it's just to
But all the other cities that have saws that don't use saws are in the same situation as Kirby, correct?
Right. Everybody pays something. Now, they, in a telephone conference I had with them, because there was inquiry about, are we able to pay a lower amount because they're not providing us as much service as they are others. And they said that's already the way it's structured. So that, you know, there are other cities are paying more. So it's at the same percentage rate, but it's based on the connection and how and what they do, whether they treat it or whether they just provide service to.
So how, so that's definitely something to figure out how they come up with that, because I don't really see a difference when they say that this is going to be this amount for those SAWS residents. We're getting the letters for the exact same amount. That sounds a little odd. So would we put that in the budget just in case, or would that be something that we would amend?
Something we would amend if they, because they'd give us notice of increase and then we could make our budget find out.
It probably going to depend on when their fiscal year is as well.
I think when they've passed it on to us before, it's been like February 1st.
So what is the water conservation education part?
So that's kits that are purchased for National Night Out, distributed to residents, water conservation kits. We typically wait till the end of the fiscal year and then buy what we need for the upcoming.
Okay, so like September. Okay. So that's like a one time a year spend for that. And the water conservation rebate program, is that the one offered to residents?
Yes. They can come in and do a rebate.
So since that's fairly low, that may be something that we want to educate too and get the word out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And just to let you know, on, under the revenue, I forgot to mention that, the garbage collection, we never put a budget amount in there. So because the garbage collection is on the utility bill, it's all collected on the utility side, but at the end of the fiscal year, the auditor will make an adjustment, and so they give me the amount. And so that's why, like, you'll see year-to-date actual, because we paid that from the previous year. So,
are you talking about the garbage contractor line?
The
what line are you?
Collection. So, and that doesn't, we don't do that every month. It gets done at the end of the.
But what line are you, which, sorry.
It's going to be on your water, and it's going to be account number 204520, which is under your revenue. So if you go to year to date actual,
yes,
you'll see that.
Okay.
Not the, that is the journal entry that comes from the auditor at the end of the year. So that always happens at, after every audit.
So is that, does that coincide with the garbage contractor line under contract services? Because there's zeros all the way across there, and then there's a fee. That's on page 2. Under 253520. Is that what it offsets, that piece of it?
Yes. But both are collected in a general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those numbers, we're able to keep track of what actually is spent and what's actually collected. But when people pay, come in and pay their water bills, really it's going into the general fund. But then we're able to, at the end of the year, transfer the proper amount of money to cover that.
So that's what the revenue part is, when it's transferred from the general to the water.
Yeah. sorry. My mind just went blank.
But basically, one is tracking what we're paying them, because the public bills us every month. We're paying them a certain amount out of the expenditure line item, and then we're collecting another amount. And then at the end of the year, that gets the exact amount collected minus what's spent is transferred.
So, but the garbage collection is under the water fund.
It's all one utility bill.
Right. And he's going to be at our next meeting, right?
Yes. To if we can go back to the police department and just kind of get your feedback on. We created, I think two fiscal years ago, we created the part-time records clerk position. Since that time, we've had three part-time records clerks have all left. This week was our last week?
Yes, it was
okay. So one of the things that I have just noticed is trend that when we have part-time positions, people typically have not been staying for a long period of time. They go on to get a little bit of experience and fall into a full-time position, one of which went on to do the same job, just in another city, full-time, higher pay. So one of the things that I was personally like for us to maybe discuss and consider is that we eliminate the part-time records clerk position and we utilize some of that workload or allow some of that workload to go to a work-study program. We learned about. We met with Alamo Colleges about a program that they offer, and several cities have already taken advantage of it, where they will allow us to post a job description on their website. Students are able to apply, and they can be assigned to us for a semester or a year. Some of them can stay the entire duration of their college studies. It really just depends on the person. If they work out well, you like them, we can keep them. If you don't like them, you can send them back. They pay them the salary. It doesn't cost the city anything. It's just it's a work partnership that allows them to get experience. Now, of course, it would be at chief's discretion to determine is that the type of work that the different individuals who are not technically city employees can do. We discussed that a little bit, is that there are tasks that they could assist with. So that's just something to consider. I mean, we can keep the position in and try to fill it again, but it just costs us money every time we.
Wasn't the initial position, though, to keep the offload or to take some of the load off of Devana? And as far as checking stuff that was sensitive information, as far as redacting recordings and things like that?
That is correct.
So is that something that I don't know, an intern, if you will, or a student would be able to.
Yeah, I believe if we get the right person and they're truly interested in it, that we could get it done that way. Now, there's pros and cons. Sometimes, you're going to get people that are just filling a hole or because they need the credit for a semester or something like that, and you don't get as dedicated as you would an employee. But the problem that we're having is we have gone through three part-time records clerks right now, and each one of them leave when they realize that this year it's not going to be converted to a full-time position.
That's why I was wondering if it was beneficial at all just to have a student, if it was information that they may or may not be able to see.
Well, because
of the sensitivity of it.
Oh, they'll be able to see it. Again, anybody who works within the police department, we're going to have to do a criminal background check and fingerprint as a minimum, just to make sure that the procedures, security requirements, that they're allowed to have access to that sensitive information. But as long as needs the help, and whether it's a part-time paid employee or a non-paid intern, she'll be happy either way.
Well, but that's also my concern, is if we're hoping that it may turn into a full-time position if we take that out, like even if you take that money out, then it's going to get absorbed, as you said, you know, somewhere else. So it may be harder and harder even to get that piece back. I mean, is it some, I don't know. I just, you know, I mean, if it's, like I said, I don't know, and how long does the internship, I mean, how long would that class or how long would that person be there? Because
so it really just depends. I mean, once we join the program, we can stay a part of the program. And if one person graduates, we can get another.
Which, yeah. And the only reason I was saying that is because every time somebody leaves and comes back, there's obviously a training piece of that. So if it's, you know.
And the cost of the background check.
Yeah, that too, the background check. I mean, maybe the school transport. I don't know, but.
So right now, I mean, but it's kind of the same thing, but it's at our expense now because it's still part-time hours.
Right.
So it's, you know, which is something to consider that if we do that, it's at their expense.
I mean, I'm all for, you know, people having hands-on. It just makes me, you know, think that if that person isn't here long after the time and energy spent by the department to train them, just for them to go just in a, you know, I don't know, a couple of months, and then for another one to come, and then it's, you know, a complete that they're having to continuously. And I know you possibly have to do that with anybody that's hired in general, but it just seems like, you know, if there's not something set. But I just personally would hate to lose just that portion of the budget in order for it to, that's just my opinion, to go elsewhere, and then it may not come back around when it's truly needed. But obviously Chief is saying that there's a need for it now to be a full-time position, that there's stuff there. Clearly, we know that the part-time custodian piece doesn't necessarily work either. But that's a larger scope now.
Do you want us to look at making it a full-time position in this budget? Do we want to just keep it at part-time and try to fill it again? I mean,
I don't know. Is it a greater chance of fulfilling that position if it's full-time? I mean, would those...
I said, most definitely. I mean, if you're offering someone a part-time job versus a
full-time
job.
Well, that's why I was just... Because one of them left.
Choice between one or the other.
Like,
and not both.
One person left, if somebody left for the full time.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Would they have stayed for full time, or is they would have not because there's somebody else offered more money anyway?
Of the three that we've had, two have left stating they needed full time employment. The third one got called up to the minors. So I don't think full-time, part-time, his true passion was to play professional baseball, and he got called up and he left. So, but the other two, at least, if they're being forthright with me, they have indicated that their desire lied in full-time employment. They've all said if it was full-time, they would stay. However, they both left to go to work for agencies that are paid substantially more. One right now is actually... the administrative assistant for another police department, and our current one is leaving to go to work civilian security with Bexar County Sheriff's Office. So I can only take their statements at face value with what they tell me when they decide to move on.
My opinion is if that we don't make it full time, that we still leave the part time position there. Just my opinion.
So is that the direction you want
to? I don't know. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Like I said, I just don't want to take it out. I mean, I'm all for internship. I just don't want to take that piece of it out in the event that it, like I said, is absorbed elsewhere and it just doesn't come back if the need arises and there's an opportunity to do it. I mean, as long if it's not filled, it's the money's still there. It's not being spent. So, you know, the city, that piece of it isn't losing anything.
I'd like to keep it in for a safety net in case we have to use it.
But if even if we keep it in, then we can go ahead and look at the internship to see if they would come into the PD and because I know how you know the VAMA has to be frustrated every 3 to 6 months you're training someone else, so half your time is going in training again.
Anything else?
No, we're good.
You can. Yep. Sorry. No, there are no more questions. As of this moment.
This is the opportunity to.
Have an opportunity to email afterwards, but if anybody has any thoughts or anything now. And so we'll have, I suppose after the ESD and all those other things, there'll be a little bit more definitive information that produced.
One more thing I just want to remind y'all is that we do not have the, not only the health insurance, but as far as the property insurance, vehicle insurance, I don't have any of that yet. So.
And is there a scope as far as what health insurance are they expecting as far as the trend? Are they expecting it to?
There'd be a slight increase.
We're going to meet with them, try to get some ideas in advance.
Okay. I hadn't heard anything yet on at my. So I was just curious. They haven't mentioned it yet.
We heard from ours, and it's going up quite a bit.
But then again, we could also do a no shop, and that would keep us close to the same rate we're at now. So they're going to get back with us as soon as they get all the claims in. Then they'll have a better idea of what how we should handle that. That's what they told me last week.
Does anybody else have any questions or additions or things for staff to look into? All right. Anyone want to try to speak to us? Adjourn.